Գունգթրեք SBS հայերենը.
A lot has happened since our last talk with Hayk Kayserian, Executive Director of the Armenian National Committee of Australia. We are again in contact with Hayk to get the latest on the work done by the Armenian National Committee of Australia and the issues that concern the Armenian-Australian community. Hayk, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Thank you, Vahe, for having me.
Hayk, let's start with the July attack by Azerbaijan against Armenia in Davush. It didn't remain unnoticed here and was widely condemned by Australian politicians.
Yes, it was definitely an occasion that required us to stand ready and react to what was going on in Armenia. Obviously, the big difference between the usual border provocations by Azerbaijan and this one was that they actually attacked Armenia's borders this time, not just Artsakh's. And obviously, Armenia is a recognized nation by Australia and most other countries. Therefore, it was easier for us to be able to explain this issue to a wider array of our legislators here. And in doing that, we were able to bring awareness also to Artsakh, the fact that this is just a continuation of similar provocations by Baku. It also was an opportunity for political leaders who have pledged to be supportive of Armenia and Artsakh to show that support, because it was definitely what was required by Armenia during that sort of 10-day period. We were able to, other than making the formal representations to the Department of Foreign Affairs, the Foreign Minister, the Prime Minister, to explain that we expected Australia to come up with a response to this provocation, we were able to also put a lot of focus on our legislator friends, and a lot of them came through, although the Australian government was a little bit less ready to come and defend Armenia's interests. They were more willing to say that it was important that both sides de-escalate the violence, although it was very clear that there's only one side causing this provocation and all the provocations, and that's Azerbaijan. But it was important when legislators like Trent Zimmerman, Delphi Tibben, as co-chairs of our interparliamentary union, our friendship group in the federal parliament, they came out and made some very strong statements in support of Armenians and also condemning Azerbaijan's provocation. This was echoed through Twitter, because obviously Parliament's not sitting because of COVID times. So Twitter and Facebook, etc., were the forums where people like Tim Wilson, Christina Keneally, Jason Falinski, and a few others also took to that platform to declare solidarity with Armenia and condemn Azerbaijan's provocation. There was a lot of response to that, obviously, from Azerbaijani Twitter trolls and things like that, but our political friends were able to be pretty strong in the face of that, and our interests were quite balanced in their protection thanks to their representations.
Hayk, about the reports of Turkish spying in Australia, does it surprise you?
Well, what surprises me is that, you know, under Australia's nose, there is reports, and to be honest, there's evidence that's being presented that Turkey's Secret Service is spying in Australia. It does surprise me that Australia would let that happen, because although there is a superficial relationship between Australia and Turkey built off the back of, you know, what happened in Gallipoli 105 years ago, everybody knows that that relationship is superficial, everybody at least in the know. And for them to allow a country that sort of harbors, ISIS terrorists and performs all sorts of anti-Christian actions in its borders and around its borders, attacks the Kurds, and is now sort of using its expansionist policies to advance itself in the Middle East. I didn't think this sort of a regime would be allowed to spy in Australia. Now, or that would go unanswered. The evidence has gone unanswered, which is something that we're surprised about, but we are not surprised that Turkey would try such a thing. So that my surprise isn't that, you know, Erdogan's tried to spy in another country, and a Western one at that it calls its ally, but my surprise is that it's been allowed to happen for as long as it has obviously been happening.
During our last conversation, we discussed the Joint Justice Initiative, how the joint work is progressing. Has the pandemic and the restrictions affected the work?
Look, no, it hasn't. Obviously, had to work that little bit harder to get in touch with people who are not, you know, at their usual phone numbers, at their usual desks and chairs. So we're doing less of the, hopefully that changes in October when we're allowed to go to Canberra again. But until then, we've been focused on using our digital means to be able to get the word out and get people to sign on to the Joint Justice Initiative. And thankfully, those efforts have not gone unanswered. We have been rewarded by having, I think now it's 37 federal parliamentarians who have signed the Joint Justice Initiative's affirmations of support. And that basically means that they support Australian recognition of the Armenian, Assyrian and Greek genocides. There's been a cross-community effort amongst Armenian Australians, Greek Australians, Assyrian Australians, and the fruits there of our labour in having very high-profile additions to that list. And I'm very happy that those numbers just continue to grow. We have 18 senators right now out of a Senate of 76. And we have 19 MPs from the House of Representatives. So that number will continue to grow. And I think the efforts is something that needs to be commended. We've always felt that a collaboration between these three communities, skill sets, the different demographics, would yield results. And I think that that's being proven. We've got people from the government calling on the government to recognise the genocide. We've got people from the opposition, people from the crossbenchers, people from New South Wales, from, you know, South Australia, Tasmania, and all around the country. So there's definitely a lot of benefits in working together, and we're seeing that, and that's motivating us to work even harder together.
Hike, there were several successful fundraising efforts, including one to help fight the pandemic in Armenia and another one to help the Armenians in Lebanon. Could you talk about those efforts?
Sure. So starting with the Combat COVID in Armenia fundraiser, we basically reached out to our community to help fundraise for Armenia's medical or healthcare needs so that the large numbers of people who are infected by the coronavirus, that would inevitably mean some of those people end up in hospitals. Those hospitals are able to serve them with the equipment necessary and the supplies necessary. We reached out to the Foreign Ministry of Armenia, who put us into contact with the Health Ministry. They sent us a list of urgent and important supplies that they need, and our fundraiser was to raise money so that we can get as many of those supplies as possible. We had a target of $25,000 Australian dollars, but our community, credit to them once again, they put their money in their pockets to help their brothers and sisters in Armenia, although it is a very difficult time even for Armenian Australians with, you know, employment and other things very uncertain during the COVID crisis. Therefore, we reached out to them. $25,000 was the target, and the Armenian Australian community responded by raising $46,500. And that money being spent is the next step. So we've been in conversations with the Health Ministry and also a group of doctors, Armenian Australian doctors, who are helping us supply as many of the equipment that we can with the money raised to help our Armenian brothers and sisters. There will soon be an announcement as to what we've purchased and where it's reached, but we're at the stage where this week an order will be going in because the logistical issues because of COVID and you know, flights landing in Armenia, commercial, etc., have needed to be worked out. So we're at the stage now where the Health Ministry is giving us their final advice, and hopefully an order will go through this week, and by the end of the month there'll be a very significant donation of equipment from Armenian Australians to our brothers and sisters in Armenia. So that effort was followed by the Beirut blast, which we're all aware of what happened in Beirut, and our hearts go out to all Lebanese citizens, and especially for us, obviously, the Armenian Lebanese community, has been there since the genocide almost, and have basically made a major contribution to the global Armenian diaspora. You know, it's one of the few communities, Lebanon, that still train Armenian language teachers that end up, you know, teaching in schools all the way here in Sydney, in Melbourne, in other places around the world. They still contribute, you know, media commentators like yourself, Fahar. I know you've spent time in Lebanon and also many mm-hmm. others. And you know, that community was, you know, being subject to an explosion like we all witnessed, was something that really sunk with our hearts. And Armenian Australians, again, were asked by a joint community fundraiser to, you know, put their hands in their pockets and try to achieve a response that would help the community whose, you know, various institutions and centres had been decimated because of the blast. And thankfully, I'm happy to say that so far there's been over $100,000 raised towards that effort, 70-odd thousand on Facebook, and there was a $35,000 donation from the very generous Kortyam family to the United Armenian College in Lebanon. And that fundraiser is ongoing. It's on the verge of concluding, but there should be a very healthy sum of money that the Armenian-Australian community was able to contribute to Lebanon and our brothers and sisters over there. But the fundraiser aside, I think it's also important that we mention that just like with COVID, with the Lebanon blast, we lobbied the Australian government for assistance. The Australian government declined the opportunity to assist the combat COVID appeal in Armenia because there's very strict restrictions around AusAid and the fact that the priority of Australia's foreign aid is to its neighbouring countries, and Armenia doesn't fall within that realm, you know, of the Papua New Guineas or the Fijis of the world. However, when it came to Lebanon, there was a significant outpouring of support from everywhere around the world, and Australia wasn't absent from that. We made representations to achieve that, as well as our friends in the Lebanese-Australian community. Australia has so far contributed $5 million in aid through several charities and organisations, as well as in two plane loads of very important supplies and shelters and things like that to help the Lebanese recover from this situation. There were also a number of Australian Armenians in Lebanon, stuck in Lebanon, firstly because of COVID and the restrictions of flights, but then their sort of calls to return to Australia were escalated following the blast. And so far, we've had one family come back, which is very good, Australian citizens. But there's approximately 30 Iraqi Armenians who were refugees in Lebanon who have applied and received their humanitarian visas to Australia, but they're struggling to get onto a plane because Australia at the moment is not accepting humanitarian arrivals because of COVID. And that the priority of the very few opportunities to fly into Australia being given to Australian citizens. We're not satisfied with that. We think that these people who have been supported by the Lebanese Armenian community will now struggle even more without their support because that community, as I said, is decimated. So we will try to do everything we can to convince the Australian government that some assistance is required to get these future Australians or pending Australians back home as well.
Hi, Johoki returned from his post as Australia's ambassador to the US. Is he still involved in Armenian issues?
I think, you know, we all know that you never stop being involved in Armenian issues. It's one of those mm-hmm. things where there are times that your career requires you to possibly put that aside, but Johoki has always been able to lend us an ear and also give us some very sound advice. You know, when he was treasurer of the country, it was well reported that he was almost gagged from speaking at the centenary commemoration of the Armenian genocide in Sydney. But, you know, on that day, he actually released a statement that, you know, affirmed the reality of the genocide. So while those reports were never confirmed, whether he was gagged or not, he didn't confirm those reports. It was very clear through his statement that he wasn't going to be quiet, whether it's verbal or written. He's always going to be true to his beliefs. So we've always appreciated that about Joe Hockey as well. When he was ambassador in the US, obviously we had less to do with him because we don't have much to do as the Armenian National Committee of Australia in the US. But now that that post is finished, we approached him to join the Australian Friends of Artsakh Network, which, as your listeners know, was launched last year to bring prominent Australians, people in politics, used to be in politics, academia, media, etc., to join a network of very prominent Australians who support the rights to self-determination and independence of the Republic of Artsakh. So we approached Joe and we said, look, you're no longer employed by, you know, the Department of Foreign Affairs in Australia. You're no longer shackled by those demands. You are an Australian. You're a proud Armenian. You currently live in the US on business. We would like nothing more than your signature to this network. And Joe responded with that signature. So he became one of 10 new additions to the Australian Friends of Artsakh Network, which now numbers close to 60 people, which we're very proud of.
Hi, thank you for your time and the updates. We'll get in touch again soon.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Our guest was Armenian National Committee of Australia's Executive Director, Hayk Kayserian. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Gam, Urdegen, Podcasts.